My name is Greg Burgess. I'm the development manager for the HPC team. We'll be talking about the job scheduler as part of this presentation. So our agenda is to talk about the job scheduler that'll be in Windows Server 2008 R2, specifically interfaces, scheduling policies, job execution, and also extensibility. The Windows HPC Server 2008 R2 scheduler is a multi-purpose scheduler that can handle many different types of workloads. First is a traditional MPI type of job. This would be engineering workloads. Next is parametric sweep or embarrassingly parallel workloads, a lot of financial analysis there. And then service-oriented, which is using web services to do calculations on the cluster. The scheduler for Windows 2008 R2 is designed for very large scale. We currently are running our scheduler against thousands of nodes and can support hundreds of tasks per second. So we're going to drill in here a little bit. We'll start with admission. So this is getting a job into the scheduler. We'll talk then about allocation, how the scheduler is making decisions about where to place jobs out on the cluster. And then last, we'll talk about activation, which is the scheduler actually starting that job. So jobs and tasks. With HPC Server, the scheduler separates the concepts of a request from resources from the actual work to perform on those resources. When we talk about an HPC job, we're talking about the request for where you want that job to run. That can be anything from, I want a job to run on nodes with a particular amount of memory, I would like a job to run with a certain number of cores as a minimum, or as a maximum as well. You could specify that a job could require at least 16 cores to start and should never grow greater than, say, 48 cores. A task really describes what work is supposed to be done on those resources. So a task is where you actually put the application that needs to be run, the instructions for that. As I stated on the previous slide, jobs are requests for cluster resources. These resources can be specified by name or by group, or how many cores or nodes or sockets or what the memory size is on each node. You can specify how long the node or the resource is needed for. You can also change for on a particular job who it's being requested for. So it's not necessary for a user when they submit a job for that job to run within that user's credentials. They can specify another set of credentials. In addition to a job defining what resources are going to be needed to run that job, a job contains the tasks that describe that actual work. A job could contain actually no task, which is really just a request then to reserve a set of resources out on the cluster on the behalf of a user. A job could contain one task, that would be a simple job, or a job could contain many tasks. And by many tasks, a job really can contain hundreds of thousands of individual tasks. So here we can talk a little bit of a sampling of the properties that you can put on a job. They're divided into different sections. The first is just identification. It's nice to be able to put a name on that job. So you can uniquely name a job. That way, when you're looking at the list of jobs in the user interface, or if you're looking at the list of jobs even with our command line or PowerShell, you can go zero in to see what that job was about. A project name property allows you to categorize jobs for ease of filtering in our UI, but also, probably more importantly, is reporting. Further, we can put environment variables on jobs such that when that job runs on each individual node, we set these environment variables within that resource request on the compute cluster. Next, we talk about how many resources that job would need. We have the ability to allocate resources to a job based on the number of cores that it would like to use, the number of sockets, or the number of nodes. And this is both a specification for the minimum that the job requires and the maximum. Now, in the case of an MPI job, that's usually the minimum and the maximum being the same. However, with embarrassingly parallel type jobs or parametric jobs, there you can use a minimum of, say, 15 cores to start, but then grow potentially up to the full size of the cluster. The exclusive job property allows you to make it so that when a job is running on a node, it will be the only job on that node. Which resources? In addition to specifying how many resources to use, you can specify which resources a job can use. This can take the form of both requesting specific nodes, such as node A, node B, node C, but then you also can specify which nodes not to use, which is an excluded nodes property. This is a new property with the 2008 R2 release. This allows you to have a job avoid particular nodes on the cluster, We find this very useful if you potentially have several hundred or a thousand nodes, but you know there are specific nodes that a certain job should not run on. Additionally, you can specify the amount of memory that you want per node or the number of cores per node. This is so that you can target jobs to nodes that you know have specific hardware that is needed for the application to run. Last, instead of specifically doing a certain node, you can use node groups. Node groups allow an administrator to define sets of nodes and give those sets a unique name. The next job properties deal with how the job should be scheduled. First, we start with priority. This is as simple as being lowest, below normal, normal, above normal, or highest. With HPC Server 2008 R2, we now support up to 4,000 distinct priority levels in addition to the five defined ones. Preemptible. You can specify whether or not a job may be preempted by the scheduler. And a preemption would happen if there's a higher priority job. Fail on task failure. When true, if you have a job that has many tasks on it, you can indicate that the job scheduler should stop running any remaining tasks if one of the tasks that is running has failed within the job. Run until canceled. This allows people to make a reservation or reserve a section of nodes out on the cluster that doesn't necessarily have any tasks and allows that job to continue until the user cancels it manually. And runtime, this is used to set basically a limit on the job such that the job won't exceed the time that you specify. So you can limit a job, say, to 15 minutes or an hour or a day, what have you. Now we'll turn back to tasks. A task at its basic form is a command line that needs to be executed along with metadata about how it should be executed. Task metadata includes the working directory that the task should execute it within. We also allow you to redirect standard in, standard out, and standard error to files. Environment variables, any environment variables that should be set for that process when it starts. Additionally, there's details about how that task should be run, including the number of cores that potentially should be offered to that task, or number of nodes, or number of sockets. Tasks themselves come in a variety of types. Basic tasks are that simple command line and that associated metadata I just talked about. Sweep tasks provide an efficient way to run a single command line many times with different input parameters. Node prep tasks, a new feature in Server 2008 R2, are run the first time a node is assigned to a job, allowing custom provisioning and checking of features of that node before the regular tasks within that job run. Node release tasks, similar to node prep tasks, are new in 2008 R2. These tasks are run every time a job is deassigned from a node, allowing for cleanup of anything left over from that job while it was running on the node. And then finally, service tasks grow to fill their allocated resources, providing an easy way to dynamically scale a service. Some examples of common jobs that are run on an HPC cluster. First is a serial application, a job containing one task that utilizes a single core or node. Next would be an MPI application, and this is an application that generally contains one task that spans resources across one or more nodes. Next would be embarrassingly parallel, and this is a job that contains something such as a parameter sweep task which iterates over various inputs. A workflow job is a job that contains multiple tasks that are ordered via task dependencies. Finally, we have a service-oriented application, and this is a job that contains a service task which starts the necessary back-end web services. So now let's talk about job templates and how administrators can use them to control how jobs will be running on the cluster. Administrators can create multiple job templates within an instance of an HPC scheduler, and each one of those job templates allows administrators to partition a cluster and also create permissions for who is able to use which resources on the cluster. Additionally, a job template allows administrators to specify default settings and also limitations for a job. An example of this would be that by default, each job needs at least 16 cores, but from a limitation point of view, you could say that a job can never take more than 48 cores. Now let's talk a little bit about submitting an actual job into the HPC scheduler. There's multiple ways that you can do this. First would be a simple CLI or command line interface. Now this can be either a user typing things out at the command line. It could also be an application creating a command line and then asking the operating system to just execute it. So these are good for anything from Perl to Python to C++ to Fortran. Next would be the HPC Job Manager, and this is a Windows UI that an end user can drive, and they can go in and construct the job themselves in that UI and then do a submit. Next would be Windows PowerShell Commandlets. This is an excellent tool for administrators who are creating scripts to submit jobs. For developers, we offer C#, our C# API, and then also a COM API for people who are doing unmanaged code, such as C++ or Visual Basic, Script, Perl, or Java. The first step in validating the job is to check that the user has permissions to use the job template that the job has been submitted against. Every job has to be submitted against a particular job template. There is one single default job template in the scheduler if a user does not actually select any specific job template. The next step is to call out to a submission filter if one is installed. And the submission filter can be created by an administrator, and it allows the administrator to do their own custom validation of every job that is submitted and determine whether or not it should be passed or failed. Additionally, the submission filter allows administrators to override any settings that a user has put on a job. Next, defaults from the job template that the job has been submitted against are applied to the job for anything that has not been provided by the user. Last, the job scheduler uses the job template to check that any constraints that have been set within that template aren't being validated by the job. If all of these steps are successful, the job is then put into the queued state and it waits within the job queue on the scheduler to start. Now it's time to do some scheduling. The scheduler has to make a decision about where that job should run out on the cluster. So the Windows HPC Scheduler 2008R2 uses a single queue. However, it should be noted that many queue-like functions are provided through job templates. Using job templates, administrators can partition their cluster into multiple segments that are used by different sets of users. The HPC server uses two different scheduling modes. We have a traditional batch scheduling mode that provides priority scheduling best for MPI and other traditional HPC applications. New with Server 2008R2 is our service balanced scheduling. This provides real-time rebalancing of resource allocations for services with other more interactive workloads such as SOA or embarrassingly parallel type jobs. With batch queued scheduling, the Windows HPC server provides a prioritized first-come, first-served scheduling algorithm. Within this algorithm, backfill is enabled, which allows increased cluster utilization. Additionally, preemption of lower priority work to reduce time to solution for high priority jobs is available. This is in two forms. First is immediate preemption, which kills running tasks to get a higher priority job running sooner, and then graceful preemption, which slowly replaces lower priority work with higher priority work along the task boundaries when tasks from the lower priority jobs finish. Now let's talk a little bit more about our backfill algorithm and how that allows increase cluster utilization by allowing small jobs to jump the queue in certain circumstances. So below, we have a graph here that shows jobs running over time. We'll start with putting job 1 on this cluster. Job 1 is requiring 32 processors of a total of 64 processors that are available on the cluster. While job 1 is running, job 2 is put into the queue, and job 2 requires 64 processors, but it cannot start right now. It is waiting for job number 1 to complete. Job 3 is then added to the cluster, and it also requires 32 processors similar to job 1. And as you can see, there's a space underneath job 2 that's available that job 3 could run in. With backfill, we'll slide job 3 down into the queue so that it runs right away within that available space. With graceful preemption, we allow a job to preempt one resource at a time as tasks finish executing. This would be to get a higher priority job running as soon as possible. With the graph showed below, we show the number of processors going on the y-axis and then time going by on the x-axis. Starting at the left-hand side, immediate left-hand side, you'll see that job 1 and 2 are evenly sharing the resources on the cluster. After a small amount of time, job 3, which is higher priority, enters the queue. And as the scheduler notes tasks from job one and job two completing, it begins to schedule job three tasks. And then as job three completes, the idle resources are given back to job number one and job number two. The grow and shrink policy in HPC Server 2008 allows jobs to grow and shrink along task boundaries instead of when a job itself fully completes. This eliminates a long tail problem, which can happen when you have a job that has several tasks, but as the task complete, having just a single task holding all the resources that a job has been using. And this also ensures that resources go to the highest priority job that can use them. Shown on this slide is a graph, that doesn't use grow shrink, and you can see how job three is having to wait to start until job one fully completes. By enabling grow shrink, we can take job number three and allow it to fill in that space that became idle on the cluster as job one's tasks completed. Next, I'd like to talk about service balance scheduling. This is a new feature with Server 2008 R2. This policy is used for new interactive scheduling workloads. The idea behind it is to rebalance resources in real time based on the priority of the services or jobs and the load on the scheduler. The goal is to provide for immediate startup of incoming work. This is an alternative policy to our traditional batch scheduler, our first come, first serve scheduler. This slide here will demonstrate priority-based service scheduling. Currently on this graph, we're showing a single regular priority job running that's using all of the nodes on the cluster. As another job enters the queue, we immediately began rebalancing the distribution of nodes to the two jobs, such that we have half of the nodes assigned to the first job and half assigned to the second job. As time continues, a third job is added, but with a lower priority. And in this case, what's happened is that we've rebalanced again, but you'll see that the first two jobs are overall using more resources compared to the third job. And this is due to the fact that they're running at a slightly higher priority than that third job. But the goal here was to get all of those jobs running as quickly as possible, which we've been able to satisfy. So now it's time to actually start something out on the cluster. So we'll go to activation. A few basics about jobs running out on the cluster. All jobs run within the context of the user. Executing tasks can access file shares, database, and other network resources to which the user has access. This is very important. What is happening is that HPC's scheduler is logging those users onto the nodes, and every one of the executables is running within the context of that user login. All tasks that we run on a node are run within a Windows job object. This is very important because it allows us to make sure that we have no stray processes left behind when a job is terminated. A Windows job object allows us to very easily and effectively cancel any processes and clean up after a job completes on a node. With Server 2008 R2, we've added the ability to preempt a task, and then we're giving it a control break signal now. This allows tasks to have a period of time to clean up before we cancel them. From a failure handling point of view, jobs and tasks are automatically retried if a node that they're using fails. Now, these retry limits are admin configurable. For certain jobs or tasks, it may not be desirable to have them retried, and this is something that can be turned off. Further, you can control the number of times that a retry may occur on a job or a task. HPC Server 2008 R2 also supports a per-job exclusion list that lets jobs avoid nodes on which they experience failures. This is automatically leveraged by HPC SOA jobs. For jobs that require licensed checkout, activation filters provide an extensibility point before jobs are started. An activation filter can hold scheduling until all licenses are available, blocking the queue. It can reserve resources for the job but continue scheduling, or it can ignore jobs for a period of time before checking them again. Last, it can actually cancel the job if a decision is made that it cannot run due to licensing restrictions, or it can modify job attributes as needed. With Windows HPC Server 2008 R2, we've now exposed progress tracking of a job within our admin UI and also within our command line utilities. Progress is automatically determined based on task completion or can be set programmatically by cluster-aware applications. Email notification of job state is a new feature in Windows HPC Server 2008 R2. The scheduler can provide email notification when a job is started, it finishes, it fails, or is canceled. This is configurable at a per-job level. Additionally, the email messages themselves can be customized. So we've discussed a lot of different policies and features of the HPC job scheduler. Here we're showing a list of all the different job policies that are available within the HPC scheduler.